But I'm sure you realize that we didn't really have a whole week, and we thought since we were spending so much money in getting here that we should take advantage. I think we should really pray for one another tonight, that God will really refresh us and help us to really benefit because we have another full day tomorrow. I've been encouraged this week just by talking to all of you and knowing that you have the same desires on your heart that I have. You know, in the Old Testament, remember how Elijah cried out to God this one time because he said, I'm the only one, you know, who worships you. And then God reminded him that there were 500 other prophets who had not bowed their knee to Baal. And I feel sometimes like I've been, you know, all alone, or that there are so few of us who have given ourselves to this. And it's been an encouragement. And I know Sunday afternoon when we started, I thought, well, here we are, you know, it's a good number for this particular room. But wouldn't it be exciting when we get together the next time if we could pack out the great hall? And Helene's back there cheering and stuff. And I think this will be possible, you know, as we all really give ourselves and as we pull and encourage one another in the ministry. But tonight, I would like to share with you on a topic that is not a very popular one today. Yet I personally believe that this is an important subject to every woman who wants her life to count for Christ. And that topic is submission. I know we all believe in the importance of submitting in today's world, but my question is, do we even begin to live it? It's so easy, as Beth said, to have the knowledge about something and to know we should be doing something. But how do we get it into our experience so we're actually living it? And you know, we have the world putting tremendous pressure on believers today to do away with submissive attitudes and to look out for number one. And you know, the big emphasis is on everyone's rights and being able to do your own thing. And it's not just in the world. I don't know about you, but I feel like we see it among Christians. And there have been different times when I've noticed that even the TV commercials, in fact, one time there was one, and they came right out and made this statement, you know, about it's so important for you to look out for number one. And then I think there's a book that's titled, too, you know, Looking Out for Number One. And, you know, if everyone continues on this wavelength, then we are on a disaster course. As Christians, we're challenged not to let the world squeeze us into its old mold. And if we're to obey the Scriptures, then those of us who are committed to Jesus Christ will live by the Scriptures and show the world that there is a better way to find fulfillment, and that is through submitting. You know, the challenge in Scripture is not to run our own lives, but to lose our lives for Christ's sake. And the promise is that we will find a very rich, rewarding, satisfying life. That's Matthew 16:25. It says, if you want to lose out in life, then you run your own life. And if you lose your life for Christ's sake, then you will find life. Now, this is a paradox. It seems that we would actually lose out by surrendering or submitting our lives. But in God's sight, that isn't true. And Philippians 2 challenges us not to look out just for our own interests, but for the interests of others. And verse 3 says, doing nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility regarding others superior to ourselves. Now, I think the trend today among many Christians may be to practice partial submission instead of total submission. Do we really give ourselves 100% in submission? Or do we limit our submission to our leaders? And as a leader, I feel that there have been people around me who have not given me their total submission. It has been a partial submission. And you know, good followers make good leaders. And I believe that God uses our experiences as followers to prepare us for leading. And if we try to bypass or curtail what God wants to do in our lives through submitting wholeheartedly to leadership, then we will be the losers. And I don't mean to imply here that only followers submit. As a leader, I have found out that I probably do as much submitting now as a leader as I ever did when I was a follower. And it works both ways. And in reality, we all have opportunities to follow and lead regardless of our maturity. Now, we may be afraid to really give ourselves because we've been hurt in the past. Maybe someone took advantage, you know, of our submissiveness. But, you know, God gently woos us to trust Him and to continue to submit ourselves to one another. And He promises that He will use each situation, as long as, you know, we keep our hearts right in it, He will use each situation for our good and His glory. Now, a couple of years ago, one of the girls in the Chicago ministry came to me and shared how she wanted to give herself to girls and help them. And she wanted to move out from the training apartment that she was in and lead the girls that she had met. And she shared with me the vision that she had for these girls. And, you know, it was great. It sounded great. But there was one problem. I knew that she had not really given herself to the leader of her apartment. And, you know, so I shared this with her, and we talked about it. And I shared that I felt she was envisioning others submitting to her in a way that she had never been willing to submit to a leader. And in God's economy, it doesn't work that way. If you will not submit to your leader, then you can count on the fact that when God gives you girls or girls come to you, you will find that they probably won't give themselves 100% to you either. And it's so important that we learn to give ourselves 100% to our leaders and to the people around us. Several months ago, I was talking with one of the staff men in the Midwest region. And he shared with me how one of his key contacts had gone ahead and developed a serious relationship with a girl without even telling him. In fact, they were, you know, really interested in one another by the time this young fellow told him. And this staff man shared, you know, how he was really hurt because this man had not come to him. But then as he began to think about this situation, he was reminded by the Lord of his situation. And he said, you know, I began to realize that I had done the same thing. And he said, I had sensed that there was a barrier in my leader's response to me. And so he went back and talked to this leader and told him, you know, that he was sorry that he hadn't really checked with him, you know, before he started developing that relationship. And as the two of them talked, they came to the conclusion that this young man would probably experience the same thing in his ministry someday. See, it is a pattern that God teaches us that way. And, you know, we have a double standard if we expect others to do what we ourselves have not been willing to do. And if I have been a good follower and have submitted totally to others, I will probably be a good leader because it will give me an understanding of what it's like when people ask you to do something. It will make me more considerate of people. It will help me to see the advantages of having people really with me on the team. And it will teach me how best to relate to people. And it will help me develop my own convictions. And as a leader, I'll eliminate the practices I didn't respond to as a follower. And I have learned a lot from submitting to the leaders. I haven't always agreed with them, but I have submitted myself. And I've decided that if I were ever in a responsibility of leadership, there were certain things that I would change. But I gave myself in that particular situation. And one of the reasons it's so difficult to share on submission today, I think, is because of the way people have misinterpreted Scripture regarding submitting. You know, we've perhaps all heard of the leaders who are tyrants, you know, and demand that everything be done exactly, you know, the way they want it to be done. And we may have met those, too, who obey their leaders and do what they say, even though it may be contrary to God's command. And, you know, it challenges us to examine ourselves and to discover what kind of a follower and what kind of a leader I am. As a follower, am I supportive and loyal to my leader? Am I aiding the growth and development of my leader? Am I really for him? Do I give him positive or her positive input? And do I confront when necessary? And then as a leader, am I considerate of those under me and interested in their welfare? Am I using people? The real danger in the land for us to use people to take advantage of them. And do I love them and serve them? And am I open to suggestions from others? You know, there will be less conflict in our relationships if we demonstrate mature leadership and maturity as followers. The more mature we are in our relationship, the more love we will show. And even if we find ourselves under someone that we consider to be a poor leader, you know, the scripture says that we are still to submit until God changes our circumstances. Now, what does it mean to submit? Now, the Greek word submit means to yield under. And Webster says an act of submitting to the authority or control of another, or to yield oneself to the authority or will of another. It does not mean becoming a robot and doing everything without questioning. Now, there are some people like this who will never think. And I, for one, as a leader, don't want people around me who don't think. They don't help me out at all. And God wants us to use our minds and to decide whether or not something we question should lead us into a confrontation with the other person. And I think that we need more confrontation. More of an honesty. There are many of us who accept things and we're not really honest. And see, most leaders don't want just yes people around them, but they want those who will interact. And see, if I have people around me who think just exactly the way I am, then it's no benefit to me. In fact, I like what Mrs. Billy Graham has said, that if two people think exactly alike, then one of them is unnecessary. And, you know, sometimes we think that, well, we all have to think alike. No, that's not it. We all need to have that same common goal. But there are no two people who think alike. And so we need to have that input from other people. And yet, sometimes, you know, so there can be a difficulty when people around you confront too much. I don't know if you've had someone around who questions everything that you did. You know, that gets to be a drag. That's not the kind of person I want around. You know, lots of times they don't even think about it. It's kind of like a habit. Every time they hear something, then they have to come back with a question. And that's not what I'm talking about. Because the only thing that does is takes up a lot of time. And we need to think, you know, before we ask the questions and give the confrontation. Now, you know, it can sound very exciting to give ourselves to someone else for training. And we often eagerly look forward to it. I talked to many girls who've really been excited about getting into a training apartment. And then I talked to them a few months later. And somehow that same excitement is not there. You know, strangely enough, once we are in the situation, we begin to chafe and complain, and we're not sure we want this kind of help. Why does this happen? Well, I think, first of all, if you haven't been in this situation before, you have no idea of the cost. And there is a cost involved in submitting for training. And another reason this happens is because submitting cuts across the very grain of our nature. You know, God's Word tells us that our big problem is wanting to be self-sufficient, doing things my way. And see, when I submit, I am saying, I'll give up my will to do your will. And that often hurts because the Scripture says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. Now, when I first got really involved with the NAVs, I gave myself to a NAV couple for training. I moved to the Washington, D.C. area and moved in with this couple. And whatever they asked me to do, I did. And they demanded a lot. I did a lot of babysitting. I did a lot of cooking, cleaning. We had many people living in the home. And we did lots of entertaining. I also worked in the office. There was a lot of work there. And I remember one time I was ready. In fact, it was the day before I was to leave the D.C. area to come out here to Colorado for a two-week seminar. And at the last minute, I found out that they wanted the wife out here. So that meant that I stayed back in Washington, D.C. and took care of their two children under 2 years of age. And what I did is I gave her my clean clothes And I gave her some of my money that I had saved for the conference, and she came instead. And, you know, as I look back at that time, I was stunned at first, you know, because I had, you know, right at the last minute, I thought I was gone. But, you know, I remember falling in bed that night and really being reminded that God is sovereign. And a long time ago, I told God that I wanted His very best, and I wanted to do what He wanted me to do. And see, if we trust Him, then we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to get bitter because of the things that happen. And, you know, I've had people ask me, well, don't you think that they took advantage of you? And as I look back on it, yeah, I think they did, because I made myself so available. But, you know, I did not lose out. I only profited. And we cannot lose out, even though people take advantage of us, if we keep our hearts right. Now, if we get bitter about something, that's a whole new ballgame. But I knew they loved me and cared about me, and I was willing to give myself in that way. And I learned so much from them. And, you know, just because I submitted didn't mean that I accepted or approved, you know, everything as always being right. I learned much about what I would and wouldn't do if God ever gave me the opportunity of being, you know, in similar circumstances. But while God had me under their leadership, I decided that I was going to really give myself to them. And I know that God abundantly blessed me because of that willingness to give myself to them. And see, submission is not blind obedience to anything anyone asks of you. I remember one time I was in Taiwan, and I was living on this compound where there were several missionary families. And this one family would ask me quite often to babysit. Well, I worked in the office all day, and in the evenings I had different things going on. I had my own priorities. I had to do Bible study and different things. Well, it seemed like they were always asking, you know, they were asking me to babysit more and more. Well, the other missionaries would use the Chinese women to babysit, and it didn't cost very much. And so one time I really felt, you know, that I had other things that were more of a priority than babysitting. And so I talked to them about it. And they thanked me for sharing with them because they hadn't even thought about it. And see, sometimes we build up a big case and all we have to do is sit down and talk to someone about it. And we're responsible also in making our decision and choosing the leadership that we will be under. I remember talking to a girl in Minneapolis one time, and she shared with me that how she had moved into this, she had been encouraged to move into this apartment under the leadership of this one girl. Now, she knew this girl quite well before she moved in with her, and she didn't really respect her, you know, she didn't really respond to her personality, and yet she went ahead and moved into that apartment. And as I talked to her, I said, I never would have moved into that apartment. I said, God has given us a mind. And sometimes we need to use these minds. And if we don't respect someone, if we don't respond to someone, then we'll never respond to them once we move in with them and see even more of their weaknesses. And see, we're responsible to choose the ones, you know, that we give ourselves to. But as I counseled her, see, she had already moved into the situation. And so I did not counsel her to move out right away. I said, you know, I believe that God wants you to stay in that situation and to really get on top of it. And see, she really had to draw upon the grace of God. But it did happen. But it took a lot of work. And see, God, if we give thanks in situations, God can really change our hearts. And see, once God leads us into a situation and we're sure that He's led us there, then we need to give ourselves wholeheartedly. So many times I've gotten myself, you know, I know that God has led into a situation. And once I get there, it's tough. And then sometimes, you know, we think, oh, I want out. But the Lord has reminded me, now wait a minute, I led you into this, and I have a purpose for your being here. And when we're in control of our own lives, we don't submit. And Romans 8:7 says that fleshly mindedness is hostile to God. It is not submissive to God's law. In fact, it cannot be. And then in verse 5, those who are under control of the flesh are fleshly minded. Those who are under control of the spirit our spiritual reminder. And when we are walking in the flesh, we will not be submissive to God or others. We are fleshly minded when our own will is in control, evidenced by a lack of submission. Why don't we submit? Well, if we're not submissive, it reflects back on our relationship to Christ. And Ephesians 5:21 brings this out. It says, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. And if we show our respect for Christ through submitting to others, couldn't the converse be true? By not submitting to others, we reveal we don't really trust God and respect Him, and we haven't really submitted to Him. And you know, we will never submit to people if we are not first submitted to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, they did not do simply what we hoped for, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and so, in keeping with the will of God, also to us. See, it's first to the Lord, and then it's to people. Now, most of us, we are really excited about submitting to the Lord, but we don't want to submit to people. But see, we prove that we're submissive to the Lord, I believe, by being submissive to people. We prove that we have submitted ourselves to the Lord. And Romans 12:1 challenges us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, one of the girls back in the Midwest mentioned one time that the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps getting up and crawling off the altar. And see, a sacrifice on the altar is not concerned about its own rights. Actually, we've laid down our life and we've given it for someone else to use. It has no rights. And the sacrifice is now in the hands of the receiver, and he's responsible for that life. And knowing who God is, we can submit to Him. I believe it's easier for me to submit to God today because of the way that He has proved Himself true to me, and because I know Him better than I used to. And I know I can trust Him with my life. And see, the enemy will try to keep us from submitting totally to God. And he'll keep trying to get us to doubt God's goodness. And see, he'll come in and he'll, you know, we'll think these questions like, is God really good and kind and loving? And especially single women, I think lots of times he zeroes in on us. You know, is God really good? Is he really kind to us? And can I count on his giving me his very best? And the answer is yes, but only if you submit to him. See, if you hold back from total submission to God, you will not experience the very best from God. And your God will never force you to submit. Instead, he waits for you to choose to submit. And see, many times we want to be able to see down the road, you know, well, God, if you would just give me a little glimpse so I could know, you know, and then we'll submit to him. But that's not walking by faith, and that's not the way God does it. He says, I want you to trust me and submit yourself to me. Catherine Marshall has written a little book called The Adventure in Prayer. And there's a chapter in this book on the prayer of relinquishment. And I think all of you remember how she was sick with TB. And she had prayed to be restored to health. And this one day she prayed, and she said, Lord, I'm tired of asking. I'm beaten, finished. God, you decide what you want for me. And from that moment, her recovery began. And then to quote a paragraph from her book, she said, gradually, I saw that a demanding spirit with self-will as its rudder blocked prayer. I understood that the reason for this is that God absolutely refuses to violate our free will, that therefore, unless self-will is voluntarily given up, even God cannot move to answer prayer. You know, I would add that unless our will is totally submitted to God's will, then we will experience little of the life of Christ. Maybe you're asking the question, well, how do we submit? How do we live a life of submission? Well, first of all, we surrender totally to God. And I think there's a time in our life when most of us decide that from now on, I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to surrender to God. We give up our will to do God's will. In Galatians 2:20, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And see, that's what it is. Not, I'm not living my life, but really Christ is living his life through me. And another way to submit is to live out our commitment by letting the Spirit of God control us day by day. And as we let the Spirit of God control us day by day, we will find ourselves giving in to others. And practical helps under this would be to memorize and meditate on verses on submission. And as we see the tremendous benefits that come from submitting. Now, I'm sure that all of us can think of times when, we have stood up for our own rights. You know, we haven't given any ground and other people have had to give in to us. And we've won out. But later, as we thought about it, you know, we're not too excited about it. We don't feel good about it. And there have been other times when we've given in instead of really standing up for our rights, and we can feel so good about it. And see, often it's in losing or giving up our way that we can experience tremendous victory. And often by standing for what we want, you know, afterwards, we don't experience that same victory. And then by letting the word affect our attitudes toward others. In other words, I don't think of myself as number one. I think of others as being superior. And this is something that we do. These thoughts run through our mind. We actually look at other people as being superior. And we also make sure that we're involved in the interest of others. And I think we need to do a little self-examination. You know, maybe each day we could ask ourselves, well, now, what have I done today? You know, to show an interest in someone else or to put someone else first. And then we need to let others make decisions about certain things that we don't always feel that we have the best plan or the best idea. You see, most problems start in our minds. And that's why if I can have a positive attitude in my mind towards submitting, then it will be easier to live it out in everyday situations. Now, why is it important for us to submit? First of all, because it's commanded us in Scripture. Ephesians 5:21 says to be submissive to one another. It doesn't say only when you feel like it, or only when you have time, or only to people whom you respect, which is much easier for us, or only to people that you want to. And then how can we tell if we're submissive? As I was thinking through on this, I thought, well, now, how do we tell if we're being submissive? Well, I think one way we can tell is by our response when someone makes a suggestion. Do we bristle on the inside and become defensive? If we do that, that's not a good sign. And are we deferring to others, putting them and their suggestions and their interests first? Now, quite often when we have girls get-togethers, you know, I kind of watch the girls in the way that they respond and treat one another. And see, I never judge a girl's submissiveness by how she submits to me. Because, see, most people don't have, you know, difficulty submitting to the leader. But I like to watch and see how the girls submit to one another. And the way they are willing, or how they submit to their peers, is an indication to me of whether or not they are submissive. I remember one girl who lived with me, and when I traveled, June was responsible for the apartment. And she came to me one time and she said, oh, Jody, you know, I don't have any difficulty submitting to you, but I really do have difficulty submitting to June. And so we talked about it, and I shared with her that if she would not be willing to submit to June, then she would really miss out in her life. And God did change her attitude. See, we're all stubborn. You know, we don't want to give in. We don't want to submit. But, you know, we can ask God to help us. And we're the ones who lose out if we don't submit, not the person that we're not willing to submit to. You know, there's a phrase in the song, Submission, that says, I conquer only where I yield. I like that. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16 said, I appeal to you, brothers, that you obey such people as well as every fellow worker and earnest toiler. Here's Paul. you know, challenging them to obey everyone. That was 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16. Actually, I haven't given you the whole, all the verses in there. And then James 4, 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And see, here again, submission begins with God. And then Hebrews 13, 7, obey your leaders and yield to them, for they keep watch over your souls as persons who must give account. Have them do so joyfully and not with regret, for that would be hurtful to you. Now, it's been my experience that the more submissive someone is to me, the more, or the greater the responsibility I feel in investing wisely in her life. And see, if there are some who don't really give themselves totally to you, then I don't feel somehow like, you know, really perhaps thinking through as much. But if I know someone has really given herself to me, then I sense a tremendous responsibility to be faithful to that person. And the more submissive that you are, the more you will benefit. And if you don't submit to your leader, then you force her or him to submit to you. And I've had that happen. You know, if some people don't submit to you, then you are forced to submit to them. And now, how does this happen? Well, I feel that if people won't submit to me, then I have to be sensitive, you know, to know when that they're in a frame of mind so I can communicate something to them, because they're pretty touchy about it. And I need to be sure that what we're planning is okay, you know, with them before we can move ahead with plans. And actually, I have to handle them with kid gloves. I think all of us have experienced this probably with certain ones. See, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs that says, my son, or perhaps we could say my daughter, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And so many times I've shared with my roommates, you know, if I sense that there's that resistance there, if you would only give me your heart and trust me. And see, that's what the scripture challenges us to do. And one of the reasons we don't really give ourselves and don't submit to people is that the rebellion in the world today is contagious. And 1 Samuel 15:22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of lambs. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of fortune-telling, and stubbornness as wickedness and idol worship. Now, Howard Butt, in his book, The Velvet-Covered Brick, which is up in the book, or for sale on the book table, says that rebellion is a short-sighted route to progress. Rebelling reflects your insecurity. By submitting, you show your calm, sure sense of strength. I like that. Now, another reason it's important for us to submit is because we have Jesus' example to follow. There's no way that we can become Christ-like without that attitude of submitting to others. And Luke 2:51, it says, Jesus went down with his parents to Nazareth and submitted himself to them. Now, most of us in the past have been irritated at times, I think, with our parents. Well, can you imagine how Jesus must have felt at times? Because here he was, God. You know, and yet he had to submit himself to his parents. And in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to such experience, which means bearing patiently with suffering when you are doing right, you have been called. For Christ also suffered for you and left behind an example that you should follow in his footsteps. And then Philippians 2:7 tells us that Jesus emptied himself as he took on the form of a slave. And verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we won't have to fake submission, if it's in our mind. And, you know, we can fake submission. In fact, there are lots of times when outwardly we submit, and on the inside we are rebelling. Now, what are the benefits of submitting? I referred to Luke 2:51. Well, Luke 2:52 says, this is after that verse telling us how Jesus submitted to his parents. We read that Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature with God and men. For Jesus, then, submitting to their cross resulted in the resurrection and his proclaiming, all power or all authority is given unto me. Submitting results in authority. And in Philippians 2, we see Jesus taking on the form of a slave and becoming obedient to death. Then in verse 9, God says, God therefore has lifted him on high and given him a name above every name. Jesus submitted, and God exalted him. And to quote again from the velvet-covered brick, he says, submission hurts, but it holds the key to your power. Submitting doesn't whittle you down, it builds you up. Now, we don't submit when we're proud and selfish. True submission indicates true humility. And there are many promises in Scripture that God will lift up and give grace to the humble-minded. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10 says, now if we were corrected by our human father and respected them, shall we not far rather submit to our spiritual father and live? For while they for a few days disciplined us as they saw fit, he does it for our benefit so we may share in his holiness. Submitting to God is demonstrated by our submitting to people, and these experiences will develop holiness as we keep our hearts right. Now, I know there are many who won't submit because they're afraid of losing their identity. But you know, it's been my experience that the opposite has been true. As I have been willing to submit myself, I have found my identity. It helps me it's helped me to think through on things and to really to find out who I am before God. And I've come up, with the convictions that I now have. At different times when I've shared with the girls in the Midwest, sometimes I have shared with them how I feel that all girls have really strong wills. In fact, I've shared, the illustration that I believe if a girl moved in with me and for 2 years she did everything that I asked her to do without questioning, I still believe that we are so strong-willed that she would walk out that door at the end of 2 years her own person. That's how strong we are. And yet for some of us, we're so concerned if we submit a little, we'll lose our identity. We won't be ourselves. And it just doesn't happen that way. Now, I'm not talking, and I've never had a girl do that. I wouldn't want anyone. But that's how, I believe, how strong-willed we are on the inside. So we don't have to worry, I don't think, about, becoming or losing our identity. Now, maybe there could be some situations, and I think Charles Manson, I think he had such a hold over people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a leader who cares for you, is interested in your very best, and then, they're not going to control you in that way. And when God first led me into responsibilities of leading, I was really concerned about the possibilities of hurting some of the girls who were around me. But then I realized that God would not let me destroy any life. But he's promised to use these experiences for good in their life. 2 Corinthians 6:12 says, you are not hedged in by us, but you are cramped in your own affections. And that's been a comfort to me, to know that I can't really, cramp anybody. I mean, we do it to ourselves. Now, sometimes we may feel limited by the leadership over us. But I personally don't believe that's true. That we're limited by our own attitude, at least if it's a healthy situation. And 1 Peter 2:16 says, enjoy liberty. How? Not by employing freedom to cover up wickedness, but as slaves of God. That's how we enjoy liberty. And in closing, I'd like to share a passage from 1 Peter 5:5-10. Now, usually we take a couple of these verses out of here and then that's it. But this one day as I was reading this passage, I thought, well, why don't I just read it in the context? And I really got excited as I saw the implications here. Verse 5, it says that the younger are to submit to the older. And then it goes on to say, well, yes, all of you are to put on the apron of humility toward each other. We're all to submit to one another. And then it goes on to say that God sets himself against the arrogant, but he grants grace to the humble. And then verse 6, it says, humble yourselves so that he may in due time raise you up. And if you want to learn to lead, then learn to follow. Submit yourselves to people, and then there will be others who will submit themselves to you. Now, the next verse is a very familiar one to all of us, where it says, Throw all your anxiety upon Him, for His concern is for you. Well, this is listed here in the midst of submitting, as though the anxieties are inevitable. And isn't it true that when we submit ourselves, you know, we want to do this, but once we do it, then it seems like things just don't go right. And we get all uptight, you know, on the inside, and we're concerned about the situation. And then the next verse says, exercise self-control. Now, what's one of the first things we want to do when we said that we want to submit ourselves to someone? Well, we want to tell our leaders what changes need to be made to become so that things can be done more efficiently or more effectively. But see, I think what God is cautioning us in here is exercise self-control. Give yourself in that situation. And then, later, in God's timing, He'll give you these opportunities. And then it says also in verse 8, be on your guard. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, you know, a critical spirit can often lead us to bitterness. And often when we're in a position where we're submitting to others, if we don't really submit and if we don't accept that, then we can become critical and it leads to bitterness. And see, it goes on to say that your opponent, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And see, the enemy doesn't want to just hurt us. He wants to wipe us out. And see, I think we can be wiped out in these situations through bitterness. And when we give ourselves in a training situation, the enemy will get in there. And he'll try to get us to think on negative thoughts and to become critical and really not to submit ourselves. And, you know, if we become bitter, we'll be wiped out. And see, it's very easy to become bitter because of the way we've been treated. See, the first thing that happens is we submit to people, and sometimes we think, oh, you know, they're taking advantage of us. Or, you know, they're not really that considerate of us. And it's so easy for that bitterness to come in. And then in verse 9, it says, firm in your faith, resist him, aware that throughout the world, sufferings of this kind are imposed upon your brothers. In other words, suffering, you know, it's not that uncommon. Everybody else is going through suffering because God uses it to build in a character and depth in our lives. And then we see the benefit in verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will, after you have suffered a while, himself equip, stabilize, strengthen, and firmly establish you. See the benefits in there. And it's all in this context of submitting to other people. Now, the benefits of submitting are tremendous. But the question I have is, are we willing to really give ourselves 100% in submitting to people around us? And it means that I must become vulnerable to others. And all of us have been hurt when we've submitted to someone. It's interesting, at the Bill Gothard meetings, you know, I think it's the first night, he asked, you know, the audience, how many of you have ever been hurt by someone? You know, every hand goes up, and he says, well, welcome to the human race. And see, all of us have been hurt by someone. But we have to trust God with our lives and ask Him to use that situation for His glory. And, you know, we can be assured if we submit ourselves that the hurts will come and submitting will cost us something. But the dividends of submitting our hearts far surpass the cost, any cost involved in submitting. Because what God does is He builds our character and He makes us more like Jesus Christ. And that's what we all want. You know, submitting is so hard to do, but so beneficial to the life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you have a desire that we become like Jesus Christ. And Father, these words of the importance of submitting are not easy words to hear. And it's hard for us to submit to people because we have our own ideas and we're so strong in ourselves. But Father, I pray that we would obey the scriptures and be willing to humble ourselves and to esteem others as being better than ourselves. And Father, we do want to become like Jesus Christ. And Father, you know those areas in our own lives in which we're not willing to submit. And I pray that you would put your finger on them and that we would submit from the heart and not just outwardly. That our hearts would be consistent with the way that we live. Thank you for your faithfulness to us and for the way that you bless us as we obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen.